Miff Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.
What would Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, be without its outrageous, glittery sequin costumes? That image of the character on the top of the bus, silver train, blowing against the red dirt in the background and the blue skies. Magnificent, iconic moment, all down to a costume. Or maybe Baz Luhrmann's Moulin Rouge without that red dress. Well, I didn't know this. The National Film and Sound Archive don't just collect Australian films. They also collect all the relevant documents and artefacts that go with these films. And it's home to costumes like the Muriel's wedding dress, as well as Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, costumes I just spoke about then, and those gorgeous white numbers, colonial numbers, from Picnic at Hanging Rock. The National Film and Sound Archives Curator for Documents and Artifacts, Dr. Jenny Gall, joins me now. Hi, Jenny.
Hello, Miff.
Great to talk to you. What can we find in the Documents and Artifacts section of the National Film and Sound Archives?
Well, we like to collect just about anything and everything that provides context to the meaning of the film. So to give you that backstory and the behind-the-scenes connections with how such an amazing thing as that product of a three-hour film or a 106-minute film is crafted, from the script right through to drawings, concept ideas, the equipment sometimes that has gone into making these films, but most especially my particular weakness are the costumes, because they're just the most amazing way of helping to build a character, to really work with the script to realise the director's dream.
I'm interested in the idea of films. They make these films, they're not sure how successful they're going to be. Do they keep all the bits and bobs in the hope that you guys will go, this is really important, we need to have that dress for that from that scene, we'd love a copy of the script? Has it been hard to get all this material? Because I imagine a lot of stuff would just get thrown out after a film.
Yeah, you're right, because it's an all-engrossing process to make a film, but it's also a production company, or all the people, the creatives that work on the film, are always moving forward. They finish one film and they're looking to the next project. They don't have the time to focus on that archival side of their lives, because to make a living and to satisfy those creative desires, you have to keep moving forward. So we like to meet these people, network with these people and say, well, yep, we know you've got the new project coming up, but we want to keep safe all of those treasures from this particular project. You know, for example, Moulin Rouge, where those costumes were stored very safely and carefully in Basmark's workrooms, but the time came when they were running out of space, and this happens a lot.
Yes.
As you would imagine, a film like that, with all those amazing props and costumes, it's quite difficult to keep all those safe. So that's when we like to offer our services.
Something like Moulin Rouge, though, the costuming was done by Lizzie Gardner, who is an Academy Award-winning fashion designer, costume designer. You'd know to keep that stuff. But for other films, has there been something that you've missed out on? Has there been some beautiful costumes that were designed and then just thrown out or sold off into secondhand stores and it breaks your heart?
You're right, because at the end of that production, as archivists, we're really not privy to the whole of that process. So what we work very hard at is to get the message out through exhibitions like our dressmaker exhibition that's coming up, to say to those production companies and to all the people in the industry, look, what you have is actually very special. It tells a really important story of how you've built these amazing Australian characters to tell our truly Australian stories. And we would really like to look after them for you.
Let's listen to something from the dressmaker right now.
Gertrude Pratt. The dance is Saturday night. I could make you something.
A dress can't change anything.
Watch and learn, Gert. Watch and learn. I can make you the most striking girl in the room. Take your clothes off.
A murderer and a lesbian.
some fabulous costumes in The Dressmaker, a very successful Australian film too. You're putting together an exhibition of the costumes from The Dressmaker and more. What's it contain?
We're very excited. So it will have some absolutely beautiful gems, including that magnificent red dress that you may remember from the movie that Kate Winslet wowed the entire Dungata football team with and had them most distracted.
She did. Beautiful.
And that
dress
was designed by Margot Wilson, who took on the job of designing for Kate Winslet, which I imagine would have been mildly terrifying to have such a wonderful star, but she certainly created gowns that are just sensational to give you that sense of mystery with Kate Winslet's character, Tilly. You never quite know what's happening there. She's tough but very, very feminine.
Mm. What was the story they wanted to say through her dress? Like there was quite a story, wasn't it? Early 1950s, Australia had come out of the Second World War. It was time to be extravagant, and yet there still wasn't a lot of money around. And communicating that through the costumes would have been an interesting proposition.
Yeah, well, she's coming into that little rural community, and what you learn is that she's coming back. In fact, that opening line, that beautiful opening line, "I'm back, you bastards." So here is this woman, a woman of the world, arriving in this very dry, well, it really looks like an outback country town. And the other women in the town, of course, look nothing like Tilly. So Kate Winslet, in interviews about the character, said she really looked on the costumes as her glamorous armour, because as we find out in the film, she does have a secret, and she herself doesn't know the truth about what happened to make her leave the town. So she's looking for evidence about what happened, and to do that she has to protect herself, and this beautiful clothing that she's learned to make herself from the most famous couturiers in Europe. That's the way she's going to do it. It's her secret weapon.
So how does the exhibition work with the costumes? Is there some sort of breakdown of what each costume means or the intention behind each costume?
Yeah, we will be discussing exactly how these costumes were made. Some of them were sourced from original garments. I think there are components. There's a wonderful red and white spotted halter neck 50s outfit, which was teamed up with a stunning red poppy headpiece. So the designer there, this was Marion Boyce, who designed for the rest of the cast. She looked far and wide to get a whole range of elements, so true vintage items, but then to kind of give them that spin that you need with movie costumes. It's not just about the fashions of the day. Mm. The costume's got to tell you something about the character. So we'll be looking very much at how a movie costume is quite different from the fashion of the day.
Right. We'll discuss that. This is really interesting. I am with the National Film and Sound Archives Documents and Artifacts Curator, Dr. Jenny Gall. How is film design and costume design for film different to the fashion of the day?
I think with a fashion designer, they're looking at the mood. And as you said, that's exactly right. Dior was looking at a way, coming out of the Second World War, to make women feel empowered. Of course, a lot of women had been in the workforce throughout the Second World War. But what Dior was looking for was a way of bringing back some sense of fantasy, of joy, of hope after what was such a devastating war, a war that was a very mixed blessing for couturiers in France. There was a lot of inquiry into people like Chanel, who appeared to collaborate with the Germans. So at the end of the war, the French fashion industry had a bit of a cloud over its head because it had continued to keep functioning throughout the war. So I think what Dior wanted was, let's use all this craft and the skill at our fingertips to create something to move us on, move us away from that wartime austerity, to move us away from feelings of guilt and all the sorrow of the war. And what he looked back to were those magnificent gowns, really going back to the 19th century, of the yards and yards and yards of fabric and what you could do when you did that.
Jenny Gall is with us. We're talking about what the National Film and Sound Archives have in their files, and it's not just film and it's not just sound, it's all sorts of artifacts and documents around Australian film. This was a brilliant film that has also the word brilliant in its title, My Brilliant Career. And we'll take a listen to a grab and then you can tell us about what you've got in your archives from this film.
Yes, I don't suppose you thought it would be like this.
Aunt Gussie sends her love. She's very keen on me getting married.
Yes, I think it's a good idea too.
Oh, so do you?
Yes, Gertie is just right for you. She's everything I'm not. Look, I've got to change. Father's down in the paddock.
Seb, it's not Gertie. It's you. It's you I want to marry.
Please, please understand.
You promised if I needed you. I do, Sib. I love you. I want to marry you. Trust me, Sib.
It's me I don't trust. Can't you see? The last thing I want is to be a wife out in the bush, having a baby every year.
You can have anything you want. We can go to the city as much as you like.
A great reminder there of a wonderful Australian film, My Brilliant Career, based on the Miles Franklin book and starring, you could hear the voices of Judy Davis and Sam Neill, Gillian Armstrong's feature film that was incredibly successful at the time. What of the costumes and of the documents from this film do you have in the National Film and Sound Archives, Jenny?
We have a large collection of documentation and posters, lobby cards and still images, but the treasure is the cream dress that Sibylla wears in the famous boating scene where Harry is desperately trying to court Sibylla, but they're caught in this kind of brother and sister relationship. They've known each other since they're tiny, and Sibylla is trying hard to grow up and be a lady, but just can't contain herself. So she kind of subverts all of that tight lacing and elegance that this cream, beautiful cream outfit conveys to Sam. So when he's turned the other way, she tips the boat up and they both end up in the water, and the cream dress is just this dripping mess.
That's right.
Causing great consternation on set, I've been told.
Oh, really?
Because there was only one cream dress.
Oh, and they'd have to dry it if you didn't get the scene right.
Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
What's Australia's relationship or Australian film's relationship with costume design? Has it evolved and improved over the years?
Yeah, well, for everybody, even Hollywood in the 1920s with the silent films, if you wanted to be an actress, you were expected to come with a suitcase with appropriate costumes for the kind of roles that you might have to act in.
BYO costumes.
Absolutely. So you had to, as part of your training really, was to think, all right, what are the most likely roles? What will suit my complexion best? And one of our earliest costumes is a beautiful gown made in Paris from 1925. And this was worn by the famous actress and film producer Isabel McDonough. She wore this in 1929 in The Cheetahs. And it's an exquisite Paris gown, 1920s drop-waisted gown with most beautiful gelatin sequins that create these rivers of light. And so in the black and white silent movie, you have this beautiful rivulet effect in the evening scenes where she's with the gentleman interest in the film. But this dress she borrowed from one of her very good friends. She needed something that was suitably alluring and sophisticated, didn't possess anything herself, so she borrowed that. And so that's come down to with that story attached. So it's, yeah.
What would something like that be worth?
Oh, that's a difficult question. It's for us and for the value for Australia, it's almost priceless because so few items of costuming from the silent era survive for two reasons. They did belong to people personally, but also this dress is so fragile. It's silk and gelatin, and with age, the sequins quite literally can dissolve. And silk, because of the different chemicals it was treated with to dye, can often shatter as it ages. So we look after this very carefully. It has a special support made for it, so the dress is never weighted in one particular direction. All the fabric is supported through this special packing. So it's quite difficult to put a value on. I'd say it's one of our treasures, absolute treasures.
So you have to wear the soft white gloves to examine all of these, I would imagine, if you indeed do bring them out into the light for such exhibitions as the one that is currently or about to happen. Do you want to tell us about the exhibition of costumes?
Yeah, yes, indeed. So the dressmaker will be opening on April the 18th. We've got some really nice events for people to come along and really immerse themselves in that whole idea of not just looking at our film costumes, but thinking about how costume and fashion work in their own lives as well. We have a ball, a 50s ball, on the 27th of April, and we're hoping to have a workshop where Anna Senior, who was the Academy Award nominated designer for the costumes for My Brilliant Career, she'll be showing people how to make simple constructions with costumes and how to alter those beautiful things that you might have inherited from your grandmother that seem to have been designed for stick insects. So she's got tips.
We have grown a lot.
Yes, it's our healthy diet.
That's right, that's right. And people can look online if they're listening around the country, can't they?
Absolutely. And the program will be evolving as we develop more things, but that the ball is in place for the 27th, and we're really looking forward to welcoming people in to also bring along their own costumes on that evening, these sort of treasures, so that they can tell us the stories behind them, because like the dressmaker film, there's always a very good tale behind most beautiful dresses.
Absolutely. And on that note, we shall end it. Dr. Jenny Gall, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Miff.
That is the National Film and Sound Archives Documents and Artifacts Curator, Dr. Jenny Gall, who does a fine trade in glorious dresses, no doubt. If you want to check out more info, just go to nfsa.gov.au/collection/curated/film costumes. Super easy to find.